Good morning. I want to ask you a question before we get started this morning. It's going to seem strange to you coming from a Christian church preacher. How many of you believe in demons? Okay. How many of you believe that demonic activity is increasing in our time? Amen. I agree. You know what the good news is? So is God's activity. Amen. The Spirit of God is moving in a lot of churches today. Because of His mercy, God knows that our enemy is working overtime, and He's, if I can say it like that, God's in overtime trying to win us to Him before it's too late. I've been coming under a lot of attack with these messages, and I'm not boasting on myself, but I've come to realize Satan doesn't want the truth preached. Okay, he doesn't like it when the word's preached, and he will do everything he can to oppose it. And I know that he's that way, not with just me, but with any of God's people that decide they want to follow him. He will do his best to trip you up. He will do his best to woo you back into the world. Today, we're going to be talking about the reality of Christians and unbelievers in part two of this message. Before we do the text, I'd like to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so very much for those who have come out to hear your word this morning. I know that your word is the truth. There's no other truth on this earth but your word. I am convinced of that. And I thank you for that solid foundation we have, Lord. And that you, Lord God, are the truth and you do not lie. I thank you for that foundation. Father, I ask that you bless the preaching of your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would increase, that I would decrease, that you would bring this message because you are the Spirit of truth. I ask that you take this message to our hearts. Lord, we are in a great struggle with your enemy and ours for the souls of men and women. And I pray today that you will take this truth to our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves as the Apostle Paul has told us that we should do. And we will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our text is the same as last week. This is part two. The text is out of 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. I'm bringing this out of the New Living. John writes, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception." All right, last week in the beginning of this, we saw that John was dealing with false teachers in the church and false doctrine, and he pointed out that the spirit behind these teachings was not the Holy Spirit, but rather the spirit of Antichrist, who we know is the devil. John told them that these false teachers and this false teaching was spiritually instigated. That's why I had that question before this started. There are very real opposing spirits who oppose the work that God is doing. They're called spirits of deception, spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the devil. And I ask that question because sadly a lot of people in church today, or many people in churches, don't believe in demons or the devil. or that this is a spiritual battle we're in, and that makes the devil dance a jig. That's part of the deception that's going on. If I was your enemy and I was set on harming you, one of the greatest things I feel I could achieve is, first of all, to convince you I'm not your enemy. I don't have anything against you. I wouldn't hurt a hair on your head. In the military, we call that tactical deception. To try to make you think the enemy's over here when they're really over here. The enemy's coming from this way when they're really going to come from this way. And Satan is a master at this. So John is pointing out to the church very quickly what we read last week. He said, this isn't the Spirit of God teaching you these false doctrines. And I've been told today many times, well, Rick, people just believe a little different than we do. We're all going to the same place. I hope you know we're all trying to get to God in the same way. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Okay? Joseph Smith is not going to get you to God. Muhammad will not get you to God. Russell Tays, the founder of Jehovah's Witness, will not get you to God because they all preach false gospels, false teaching. These are doctrines of demons. And I know that sounds harsh to a lot of people today. And they say, well, that's narrow and bigoted. And you shouldn't think like that. They just think different. No, John said it's the spirit of Antichrist is behind these teachings. And we need to be aware of that. Now, today, I said in part two, I want to talk about the reality of Christians and the reality of unbelievers. John points out a second reason this happens. And it's just as prevalent today as it was 2,000 years ago when this epistle was written. John said that these teachers are of the world. That seems like a strange statement to us because we're all in the world. We were born into this world. We live in this world. But the Bible says that if we're followers of Christ, we're not to be of this world. What does that mean? Do you know that the world hates God? The world hates God. Jesus said that. If you remember in John chapter 7, there was a feast coming up, and it said his brothers, now this is Rick's interpretation, his brothers were ragging on him because they didn't really believe he was the Messiah. So they were ragging at him, and they said, aren't you going to this feast and prove that you are who you say you are? Aren't you going to go do some miracles so these people will believe in you? And Jesus said something to them. He said, this world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its deeds are evil. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he's talking about being born again, he said, Nicodemus, I didn't come here to judge the world. Do you know he has the right to judge us? He has every right to judge us, and he will be the ultimate judge. He said, the Father has handed all judgment over to me because I'm also the Son of Man. He's all God and he's all man. I've told you before, you and I can't go to him and say, you don't know what it's like, because he can say, I sure do. God became a man and walked this earth and lived a sinless, perfect life. And he gave his life on the cross and shed his blood so you and I could be forgiven. And anybody that brings any message to you other than that is a liar, and they are speaking through the spirit of Satan. I can't say it any plainer than that, church. And John said that these teachers, these false teachers, are of this world. And when I first time I read that, I thought, wait a minute, I'm in the world. What does that mean? Well, the world hates God. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again, he said, you got to be born again, born from above, or you won't enter heaven. He said, Nicodemus, I didn't come here to judge the world. God sent me here to save the world. Now, when he comes back, he's coming back to judge. He's not going to be the lamb, the meek lamb of God. He's coming back as the judge of all people. And he said, I'm going to reward you for either the good you've done or the evil that you've done. There's judgment coming, church. That's why Satan is so active now, because the Bible says he is full of rage because he knows his time is short. Do you know the devil believes in the judgment? The devil believes that God has power over him. The devil knows that God's the one that's going to get him and give him the bum's rush and throw him into that lake of fire, and he'll be there forever and ever, day and night, being tormented. He believes that better than a lot of people do. He knows it's a fact. And Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, look, God didn't send me here to judge. He sent me here to save the world. But he also said in verse 18, here is the verdict, Nicodemus. Here is a judgment. Men love their darkness instead of the light, and they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. That's why the world hates God, because God came and said, this is wrong, this is right, this is good, this is evil. And the world said, I don't want to hear that. If I think something all right, it's all right, and who are you to tell me it's wrong? He's God. Yes, he is God. He is the one who warned Adam in the garden, don't eat off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't want that. And the day you eat it, you're going to die. And you know why the world opposes God? I've been told, well, it's because they're totally depraved and they don't know God. And people don't know God. We have to come to Jesus Christ to come to know God. But you know what the truth is? They know they're wrong. When Adam and Eve left the garden, God didn't say, well, there they are, they're totally depraved. Now they don't know nothing but evil. What God say? Now the man's like one of us. They know good and evil. We know what right and wrong is. I don't buy that we're born and we don't know what right is. The Bible says we know what it is. Why does the world oppose God? Because they are convicted of the evil that they are guilty of, and they don't want to be reminded of it. Why is the world telling the church to shut up and not tell the truth? Because they don't want to hear it, because it convicts them. Why are they wanting to shut us up? Because we are a voice. We're in their face the way they feel, because we're telling them this is sin. It has bothered me. How many Christians I have run into since I've been in ministry said, now look, Brother Rick, homosexuals are born that way. They can't help it. That's not what the Bible says. Homosexuality, lesbianism, all sexual immorality, transsexualism, living together outside of wedlock, having sex with somebody else's wife is all under the heading of sexual immorality, and the Bible says God will judge that. But I have heard Christians, professed Christians, tell me, well, now, you know, they have found out. Who's they? Well, them. Who's they? Well, they, them, you know. I can't name any names because it's a lie. God didn't create anyone that way. People choose to do that. And I was as guilty of sexual immorality as any man that ever walked this earth. I was sexually a vile person until I came to Jesus Christ. Okay? And when I hear a Christian tell me that we need not to preach against that is sin, you know what that tells me? You have the spirit of the world, not the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you like it is. You think this is weird now, you should have got it when I got it. I'm here to tell you, God is moving. And God is telling the church, you pick a side and get on it. Quit being mandy-pamby. Quit jumping back and forth between the world and me. You either get with me or you get away from me. You're either going to start gathering in or you're going to scatter. You're either going to tell the truth or you're going to take the spirit of the world and lie through your teeth just like the world does. People today, they go, well, that's bigoted. Thank you. If I'm a bigot, that means I'm against what the spirit of the world is saying. I appreciate that. God bless you for saying that about me. You can say that all you want. So John said to the church of his day, these people are from the world. In fact, in the beginning of the epistle, the book of John is a fascinating epistle. It talks about holiness. It talks about the devil. It talks about the Lord. It talks about sin. It talks about righteousness. Everything you know, you can find in the First John. In the beginning of the epistle, he was talking about these false teachers. He said, they left us because they didn't belong to us. Thank you, Lord. As a minister, I've had to put up with that. And you're glad when they leave. That sounds bad, but you are. I had a guy come to me one time and said, if you don't change the way you preach and teach, I'm going to find another church. And I said, God bless you in your search for another church, because I ain't going to change the way I teach and preach. Because I'm somebody? No, because I preach the Word. The Word doesn't change. God doesn't change. Church, this world and the God of this world is in a constant battle with the Spirit of Christ, and He is trying to pull us back into the world. He wants us to think like the world. John said these teachers belong to the world. That's why they teach this way. He said they have, we call a worldview. He said they have the viewpoint of the world. They speak from the viewpoint of the world, so the world listens to them. Wow. Jesus told Nicodemus the world hates God because God points out what they're doing is evil. They don't want to hear that. And you know what bothers them so much is their conscience convicts them too. Man, why has God got to be so intense? Why can't God just leave us alone? Let us decide what's right and wrong. I mean, you just said we had the knowledge of good and evil, but you know what? We choose evil every time. I didn't know how wicked of a person I was until I received the Holy Spirit. I'm just being honest with you. I thought I was a good old boy. I don't bother anybody. I don't steal. I drink whiskey. I smoke marijuana. You know, I did a lot of other stuff that I'm not proud of. But, hey, I work. You know, I don't steal from people. I'm a good old boy. Until the Spirit of Christ came on me, then I said, oh, God, I'm a wretch. God's holy. Do you know that? He is holy, separate from sinners. And He doesn't change. The world says to the church today, you need to tone it down. You can be a Christian. You can have your Jesus stuff. Just keep it to yourself. We don't want to hear it. Well, I'm sorry, but my Jesus said, you tell them. Yeah. You be a light. I've had people in the church as a minister tell me, you know, maybe you don't need to preach about sin so much, or you need to be a little more loving. Well, I would, but Jesus said that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be preached in His name. So I'm just doing my job, man. That's how I feel. I'm just doing my job. How are men going to know what to be saved from if you're afraid to preach about sin? And here's the thing. Culture changes, cultural norms change, but God doesn't. So what God said was sin 3,000 years ago in the law of Moses is still sin. Yeah, I'm not a genius. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I know that. The message hasn't changed, church. Paul said that the God of this world blinds the minds of people so they don't believe the truth. So that's one way we in the church can pray for people. God, take that veil off their hearts. Take the blinders off their eyes. You're the God who convicts of sin. You're the God of truth. Convict them of the truth. In your mercy, lead them to you. Now, I believe in a free will. I mean, people can still say no, but I think that's a viable prayer, church. We need to understand that there are many people today are deceived. They've been tricked by the devil, and they still think that they're in the right. I asked this question one time in a Sunday school class that I was teaching. I said, is alcoholism a sin or a disease? Because I was in a church. And it amazed me. There was like seven people in that class, and five of them said, it's a disease. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Where do you get to? Well, and this was the end. Well, they said, I said, who's they? Them. Who's them? Science. I said, the Bible says it's a sin. Now, I was a drunkard before I came to Christ. Alcohol was my go-to. I got mad, I got drunk. I got happy, I got drunk. I had a problem, I got drunk. And I had people telling me, you got a disease. And then I read the Word of God and it said, no, you're full of sin. And Jesus Christ can release you from that sin. When I was dealing with the druggies, when I was doing that program here, I had a lady approach me on Main Street, and I'm not getting sidetracked, please don't think I am. And she said, I heard you're working with these druggies. I said, yeah. And she knew I used to do drugs. And she said, well, that's good because you understand these people. She said, are you telling them that they're sick? I said, no. She said, good. And she shared her testimony right there on the street, no class. She acted like she didn't care who was listening. She said, you know, I was in prison for meth. I said, no, I didn't know that. She said, yeah. She said, my marriage fell apart. I lost my kids because of my drugs. And I said, eventually I went to prison. And she said, you know what the first thing that idiot prison psychologist told me our first visit? Well, bless your heart, you got a disease. And I'm not going to tell you what she said because there was a lot of profanity involved. But she, in essence, said, you're full of doo-doo. You're full of what the bulls drop that even the cows got enough sense to walk around. So that gives you an idea of what she said. I'm not trying to be lewd. I'm being honest. And she said, I told that woman, you're a liar. It's not a disease. I'm not sick. I made a choice to do this junk, and it's cost me everything that was dear to me, and now it's costing me time out of my life. And she said, it was me. And she said, Rick, when I got out of prison, I had to work 2 years to get my kids back. But she said, praise God, I'm married to another man, and I have my children back, I have my life back, and I have my family back. And it wasn't a disease. She said, I had to work at it. What's your point? That's the world idea. That's the spirit of the world. Well, it's a disease. Bless your heart. You poor thing, you're just born that way. Good night. God understands. In fact, He made you that way. That's the world. That's not what the Word says. You know why I don't drink? Because I got the victory over alcohol through Jesus Christ. You know why I don't do other drugs? Because Jesus Christ broke that bondage. You know why I'm not a sexual pervert anymore? Because Jesus Christ broke that bondage. It's through Jesus Christ that I walk free of those. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Him. I followed the devil with all my heart. And when God called me, I decided I'm going to follow Him with all my heart. And that's a whole lot better life than what I was living. Yeah. So you can peddle your psychology and your other stuff down the road because I'm not interested. Can't you tell I'm wound up tighter than an 8-day clock, as my dad used to say? I'm here to tell you the Spirit of God is moving, church. Yes, sir. God loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for you, His sinless, perfect Son. And the Bible says that He has given us victory over sin, death, and the devil. In fact, John said to the church, you already got an edge over these people of the world, these liars, because he said, you're God's children. Do you know that? If you've come to Jesus Christ, you're God's kid. And I'm going to tell you something, Satan's going to work harder on you than he did when you wasn't, because he already had you. That preacher that baptized me at Bryant Creek, God bless his memory, when I come out of that water, he said, I know you think things are going to get easier now, but he said, brother, you just hung a target on your neck. He knew my past. He said, now that you've walked away from Satan, he's coming after you. And boy, he was right. Good night. We're in a war, church. We're in a war for our souls. We're in a war for the souls of all men and women. And the enemy hates you because you believe in Jesus Christ. You're here. You're putting up with this. Yeah. Have you chose to follow Jesus Christ? Do you know that the world hates you because it hates Him? What John said there, that sounds arrogant to some people. John said, well, if they'll listen to God, they'll listen to us. Well, who do you think you are? You know why he said that? Because they preached the same thing God preached to them. The apostles didn't try to elaborate or be eloquent in speech. They preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. They preached the exact message that Jesus gave to them. And Jesus told them, if they listen to me, they'll listen to you. And if they don't listen to you, it's because they wouldn't listen to me. Yeah. So John said it's not only a spirit of Antichrist that instigates these people, it's that they belong to the world. They don't belong to God. Now, does that mean they were saved or never saved? I'm not even going to bring that up. If you guys quit interrupting me, we'd get out of here a lot quicker. I used to argue stuff like that. I don't anymore. Hey, you want to believe once in grace, always in grace, you go right ahead. Bless your heart. If that makes you feel good, go right ahead and believe it. If you want to believe that they were saved and they backslid and now they're not saved, bless your heart, you just go right ahead and believe it. People, I've had people say, do you know if you die today that you'll go to heaven? Well, I hope I will. But here's how I know when I stand before my Lord. That's what Jesus said. If I stand before him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then I'll say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. But if he says, depart from me, you cursed one, then I'm not going to heaven. Now, am I questioning salvation? No, it's all God. It's all God's doing. But you see, we play a part in it too, church. The Bible says that you and I are to put aside the old person, the old man, the old woman. We're to be new creations in Christ. We're to live as new creatures in Christ. We're to follow Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, and our strength. And that's your doings. Too many people think the Holy Spirit's going to wind you up like a toy. And you're going to march along, do what God wants. It's your choice. Are you going to follow God or not?
Yeah.
Amen. You bet. Do you want to be possessed by the spirit of the world or the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe we get all the Holy Spirit when we get baptized. Really, where does the Bible say that? It doesn't. Why did Jesus tell us to ask for the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you what, when I came to Christ and I was baptized, I know I received the Spirit, but there came a time in my life I started praying, God, I need more of the Holy Spirit. Would you fill me with your Spirit? And he did, and I didn't speak in tongues. I felt like saying, God, you made a mistake. I thought it said here that I will speak in tongues when I'm filled with the Spirit. I didn't speak in tongues. But I'll tell you what happened to me. I felt like God opened my eyes. And he said, this is Jesus. This is my son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, this is my Father. Do you know you can't know God unless Jesus reveals him to you? Do you know you can't know Jesus unless God draws you to him? Yeah. That's what the book says. Do you know that Jesus said if we will obey his teachings, that he and the Father will come and live in us? You know how he does that? Through the Holy Spirit. You know why John said that we're already have the edge? Because he said greater is the Spirit that is in you than the Spirit that's in the world. That means if I have the Holy Spirit, he's the one that created the devil. He didn't create him evil. The devil became evil. But he created the devil. So he's greater than the devil, isn't he? Yeah. He's greater than the devil. So if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're already a winner. I'm already a winner. I don't do this in my strength, church. I'm as weak-willed person you'll ever meet. But I'll tell you what, through Jesus Christ, I can do everything that he's called me to do. That includes living for him. That includes resisting temptation. John said in John chapter 5, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You're already an overcomer. We just have to be reminded of that sometimes. I've been down in the dumps as a Christian. There's been days as a Christian, as a minister, I've thought, I'm done. God, just leave me alone. I'm just going to go back to what I used to be. At least nobody expected anything out of me. And things were not as confusing at times. But you know, praise God, he didn't let me go. I quit reading the Bible for a while. I'm done with that. I quit praying. I didn't want to talk to God. Didn't want him talking to me. But I'm so thankful that he's a merciful God. And he said, I'm not done with you. Get back here. Richard Glenn, get back here. That's what my mom used to say when I was in trouble. And that's what the Lord, Richard Glenn, come here. I'll tell you honestly how I feel and how I felt when I thought about walking away. You remember when the crowds quit following Jesus? They said, this is too heavy. I'm putting it in my Dope really. This is too heavy. Who can understand this? Who can get a hold of it? And Jesus looked at the 12 and said, are you going to go away too? You remember what Peter said? Where are we going to go? We're convinced you have the words of eternal life. That was what made me stay. And my temptation is to walk away from Christ. Where am I going to go, Lord? I've tasted of you. I've tasted of your power. I've tasted of the powers of the age to come. I've tasted of the goodness of your word. Nothing else will do. I can't find happiness in a joint. And believe me, as a minister, there's times I've thought, boy, I'd like to have a joint as big as a paper towel holder and just lay under a tree and suck on it and pass out and then wake up and suck on it again. And do that for like 3 or 4 days. But there's no peace in that. I've told my wife, if I was still a drinking man, I'd go on a 3-day drunk over this. But there's no peace in that. After a 3-day drunk, then I'm sick for 3 days. And then you're paying for that, what you was doing, and you still don't have any peace. And on top of that, you're sick as a dog. Where else are we going to go, church? I'm going to tell you something that the Lord's laid on my heart for me and for you. Make a choice. Are you going to follow Jesus Christ or are you going to follow the world? Are you going to hold a worldview or are you going to hold a biblical view of this world? God is saying, make a choice. Make a decision and stand. God has called us to be in His way, not as an obstruction, but to be with Him, to walk in the way. And if you don't want to walk in the way, then please get out of the way and let those who will walk in the way do what God's called them to do. The spirit of the world is very prevalent in the church today. It's prevalent here. I've heard it here. I've heard things come out of people's mouths that I know that's the spirit of the world. That's not the Holy Spirit. Oh God, He's getting Pentecostal on us. We're going to have to hire another guy. No. I'm a Christian church preacher, but I believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit's for God's people today. It didn't stop with the apostles. We are in a battle, church. We live in a world that Satan is the god of this world, and he will do everything he can to pull us away from him. Jesus said when he lies, he speaks his own language because he's the father of liars. He said there's no truth in him because he didn't stay in the truth. You know, Satan knew the truth at one time. He still knows it. He just doesn't stay in it. He lies. He tries to pull us out. That's what false teachers do. That's what false doctrine does. He tries to pull us away from God. And the end of that's death. I'm not talking about physical death. We're all going to die physically. I'm talking about spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. He plays for keeps. Our enemy's playing for keeps. God's playing for keeps. I know I got on the negative of this message, but I felt it had to be said. John said, the spirit that is in us is greater than the spirit that's in the world. Just remind the devil that when he gets in your face. Hey, the spirit that's in me is greater than you. Get lost, dude. Take your junk with you. Go peddle that somewhere else. I read one time years ago of an old elder that said whenever Satan would come and tempt him, whenever sin would tempt him, he'd say, there's no room in my heart for you. My heart is filled with Jesus Christ. I think that's what we need to do, church. No vacancies. I'm a Jesus kid, and I'm going to keep being a Jesus kid till he comes back. Ask yourself this question this morning. Don't raise your hands or answer, am I walking by the Spirit of Christ or by the Spirit of the world? Do I have more of a worldview or do I have a biblical worldview? If you're being led by the Spirit of the world, repent. Confess that to God and say, I've got a worldly spirit. If you've allowed the viewpoints of the world to come into your life, repent. Because the Bible says if you choose to be the world's friend, you're God's enemy. And God's enemies are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Well, God, that's hard. I didn't say it was easy. But my Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's never too late till they throw dirt in your face. Then it's too late. I told you the Spirit of God is moving, and He's moving here today. Make a stand. Take a stand. Either you're going to follow Jesus Christ or you're not. And that's a decision that you have to make. I can't make it. You have to make that decision for yourself. Would you stand with me this morning? Where are you at? Ask yourself that honestly. Where am I at? Lord, am I serving you? Am I listening to your spirit or am I listening to the spirit of the world? Do I love this world more than I love you? Am I willing to stand for you and for your truth, or am I going to compromise with the world? That's something that we need to figure out. Jesus Christ invites us to follow Him, but He doesn't tell us it's easy. And that's a decision that each and every person in this room, including myself, we have to make. Am I going to love this world, or am I going to love my Lord?